Welcome to the only podcast for piano teachers just starting out, Piano Teacher Primer. My name is Angela Toon. Keep listening for the prime pro tips you can use with your own students right away. The Piano Teacher Primer podcast is almost a year old. What? I started in November of 2022, and here we are in 2023. I can hardly believe it that I could talk about piano teaching for this long. No, I knew I'd be able to, and I still have lots more ideas. So thank you guys for being along for the ride. Today's episode 49, Choosing Music for Piano Students. The idea for this episode actually came from my own daughter, so shout out to her. And it really is one of the most challenging parts of teaching piano. This can range from, what method book should I use? What pieces should I choose for recitals? What classical books? When to start classical? And what arrangements or holiday music are the best? And how to go with students' desires and keep it in their level? You don't want to send them with some piece that's going to take them 2 years to learn and still not be that good. And you don't want them to be bored all week and not progressing or thinking that they don't need to actually practice and work on things to improve for the next week. And you don't want to spend the whole lesson just trying to choose music. We do want students to play once in a while and to learn and progress. It can be so confusing. Plus, there is so much music out there that it's overwhelming. And you're like, well, how do I even choose if there's so much? So I have three tips for you today. I'll just say them real quick. One, have the student try it out. Have the students sight read it. And number two, play three choices for them. And my third tip will be consider their strengths and weaknesses. And I have two sides to that coin. So stay tuned to the last part for that. Keep in mind as we go, what's called the video game principle. Have you heard of this? It's like an achievable challenge. You know, if the student is playing a video game and it's too hard, they're going to stop playing the video game. If they're playing the video game and it's too easy, they'll be like, this is for little kids. This is too easy. And they'll stop playing. But if it's just enough of a challenge, or a challenge with like a hint or a hack or something that they can get through that tough level, and then they can keep progressing through the levels. So it's an achievable challenge in which the student has the capacity or the skills to develop the capacity to meet an ambitious goal. Goldilocks might say, it's not too hard, it's not too easy, but it's just right. And then if you've heard of a child development theorist, Vygotsky, he talks about the zone of proximal development. So proximal, like their next thing that they can conquer, or that they can conquer with a little bit of help. And that's what we as piano teachers are here for. Okay, so the first tip is having the students try it out. It seems obvious, but we forget to do this sometimes. We think, oh, I'll just come up with the piece that I'm going to have them do next. And let me say what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about method books in this episode, but I have talked about it previously, and I'll tell you about that at the end. I'm talking about like for the method books, we often go through chronologically through the book, and maybe not every single piece. These days I've been skipping pieces for some students using this zone of proximal development idea and using the sight reading of the students to gauge if this piece needs to be practiced for a whole week. If they can sight read it perfectly, maybe not, right? So I'm kind of talking about in this episode like a recital or a supplementary piece or a Christmas piece or a holiday piece or something fun they want to learn, like a movie piece or a, I don't know, anything, Disney, stuff like that. So just kind of extra things, and then the meat of their piano lessons is still there, the method books, and we still go kind of in order even if we skip stuff, because the lesson book, the pieces teach a certain principle that they need to learn. So I for sure continue through those. Okay, disclaimer aside, so if a student can learn notes pretty well, right? They know the basic sight reading principles. They know the treble clef, bass clef, and they don't have every single line in space memorized, but they can figure it out. They can find their notes from their landmark notes, some books call them, if they know middle C, treble G, and they can figure out the notes. Then we can pick out a piece and have them just try it. And this is exactly what I have them do. So maybe with a couple of hints, they can be able to play one hand, maybe the melody of a piece, and we can just see if it's too hard. I don't have them play the whole song. I don't have them play hands together usually. If they're older, they could try it. But sometimes you can tell just from trying the right hand if it's going to be something that they're going to be able to complete in a reasonable amount of time. And then another thing I do a lot is play three choices for them. This is tip number two. Play three choices for them. This can be me playing as a teacher, sight reading. This can also be playing them, somebody else playing it on YouTube. YouTube's so nice to have people who have put great videos on there for us. I like to get students' opinions. So sometimes these three choices, okay, for instance, if we're choosing a Christmas piece and they have a book already, a Christmas book, I'm not just going to choose a Christmas piece for them. They might have opinions of what Christmas piece they want to do, if they want to do a carol, if they want to do a popular. So I show them the table of contents and I ask them for three choices of what they might want to do. These three choices can be three choices that I choose. So classical, I might think of three different pieces that would be in their level and then play the three and then they choose which one. So sometimes it's three choices of theirs, sometimes it's three choices of mine, but having them choose out of three makes it not take the whole lesson, and then it helps them to choose within a framework of their level and what I think they can already do. It's difficult when they don't have an opinion. It's difficult when they have too strong of an opinion, right? It can be hard either way. If it's too hard for me to sight read, then the student might have a hard time. If you know Marshall McDonald, I'm friends with his former teacher. And she told a story of when she was sight reading a piece for him. And she said, well, I'm just sight reading and I haven't practiced it yet. And that's why there's some mistakes in it. And he says, well, if you can't even play it, then I don't want to learn it either. So just a funny little side story there. Side note, what is too hard anyway? If a piece is a little too hard, I explain to students all that means is it takes a longer time to learn. I don't want to deter them by thinking a piece is too hard so I can never be able to play it. They can try anything that they want. They'll be able to learn harder things in the future. And why is it hard? It could be for a number of reasons. Some kids have a harder time with rhythm. Some are afraid of key signatures. For some, memorizing a piece is a very big feat. And some have a harder time playing fast and some love it. Which leads me to my next point, number three, consider student strengths and weaknesses. So for recitals and festivals, I try to play up their strengths. Is rhythm difficult for this student? Choose a piece with a simple rhythm pattern. Is memorizing hard? Avoid pieces that might make it even harder for like recitals and festivals and things. But then in between recitals and events, strengthen those challenging areas for the students. Give those rhythmically challenged students some challenging rhythm pieces. Give sharp and flat phobia students some easy pieces in harder keys, key signatures. Have students memorize something with lots of similar parts if memorizing is a challenge for them. Have them just memorize just because and say you're gonna film them at the end or something. So play up their strengths for performances, competitions, but then in between, strengthen their weaknesses. I do often give my students one piece that is a little bit, quote, too hard, just to show them that they can do it. Now, students might want to play something, but it might be too hard for them, quote, too hard. If it's an arrangement already, simplify it. Example, for this Halloween recital we just had, a student wanted a piece from Pirates of the Caribbean. And I said, well, two students are already playing He's a Pirate, but maybe we can do the Medallion Calls. Little did I know, this would be a weeks-long process trying to find the right arrangement for his level. I asked other students who I knew who had played it. We look up online. Finally, we picked one, and it was a little bit above his level, and we took out some notes. We took out some repeated notes. We took out some of the big chords, and he just played the top two notes of the chord, made it work for him and his level so that he could complete it in a shorter amount of time. Could he have learned the original? Yes. Were some of those repeated notes just annoying and not that cool? Yes. So this allowed him to be able to play something. Now, I wasn't always like this. I used to be like, we have to play exactly what's in the music. And if the music says to play all these repeated notes, we have to do it. But now I'm just more easygoing about it. I think learning jazz kind of made me a little bit more easygoing with simplifying pieces that are already arrangements. Do we arrange classical pieces? Well, no, but there are arrangements of some of those famous classical pieces, so students can have an experience on learning those. Oh my goodness, I had like three interruptions of the recording of this podcast. When your mom calls, you need to answer. And when your son calls, you need to answer. And when your daughter barges in needing something, well, we can just pause the recording and pick it up after. So thanks for bearing with me. And on this topic, I have a lot more where that came from. So I am going to send you to episode 37, Sneak Peek and Why. In this podcast, I have a sample from the Piano Teacher Primer course. It's a section called Books to Use. It goes into a lot more detail, including specific books I recommend and composer suggestions and an overview of method books. So I highly recommend checking that out. Thanks, guys. Bye. Are you having as much fun with this podcast as I am? Are you getting some actionable tips? Help more beginning piano teachers find us by leaving a rating and a review. On Apple, you just scroll down to the bottom and click on the stars. And on Spotify, you click the three dots near the top and click rate show. Also visit angelatune.com for free videos, downloads, courses. Together, we'll change the world one student at a time.